Which one?
A lot of things about who God is that encourages us and helps us. There are some attributes of God that can sustain us through whatever trials or tribulations that we face. We live in a very difficult world. We live in a crooked and perverse world. The Bible describes it as living in a crooked and perverse generation. There are a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. There's a lot of dangers. There's a lot of wickedness. There's a lot of unreasonable people in the world. We face a lot of problems, but there's a God that's faithful to us. And we can trust in the fidelity of God to sustain us through whatever we go through. And so I want to read some scriptures taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll begin reading in verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 1. I want to speak to you about the reliability and the fidelity of God. The reliability and the fidelity of God. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Do you interact with people like that? For all men have not faith. There's a lot of people that we interact with that just simply, they do not believe the word of truth. They're unreasonable and actually wicked men. But, I want you to notice this conjunction. In contrast to the situation, in contrast to the severity, in contrast to the unreasonable and wicked people that we have to interact with, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. I want to speak first of all about the generalization of the faithfulness and the fidelity of God. I want us also notice the confirmation, how that he says in this verse, and the most, I guess the verse I want us to pay most attention to is verse 3, how that he will establish you. He's faithful. He will establish you. So I want us to speak about, think about just for a few moments, the generalization of God's faithfulness. And I want us to also think about him confirming us, him establishing us. And thirdly, I want to speak to you about him preserving us, how that he will keep us, he will keep his people from the evil one. That's one of the translations, and some of the different translations, whether you embrace that or not, it doesn't really matter. He will keep us from evil, or he'll keep us from the evil one. Now let's notice, first of all, some things about the faithfulness of God. God has always been faithful to his people. Four or five times in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ is distinguished, he is referred to, the appellation is used that he is the faithful, and true witness. Several times Jesus is given that title, that he is the faithful and the true witness. Not only that, but throughout the history of the church, we know that the Lord Jesus has been faithful to his people. Many times in our life, one of the foundations of our life, one of the foundations of our faith, one of the foundations of our hope is that God will be faithful. No matter what, God will be faithful. And the church has experienced that. Christians have embraced that. It's something not just talked about. We don't just simply say that he is faithful. We see it. We experience it. We feel his faithfulness. I want us to embrace this teaching tonight, not just with our ears and not just with our mind, but I want us to embrace it with our heart. We need to feel from the depths of our soul that God will be faithful and that he is faithful, and it will establish us. It will be a firm foundation for us. It'll be a firm foundation for our hope. The fidelity of God is so important. One of the areas in which he is faithful is, we're thinking about the general faithfulness of God, he is faithful to forgive, isn't he? We read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, that this is a true and a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He's faithful to convict sinners. He is faithful to accompany his word. Isn't his word still sharper than any two-edged sword? Isn't it still able to pierce to the dividings under of soul and spirit? Is it not still able to slay open a person and make them exposed before the God in whom they had to do? It certainly is. God is faithful. His word will not return void. It will accomplish that which he purposes. And so God is faithful in convicting and converting sinners. He's faithful in his forgiveness. The Bible tells us that we are to go out as a people and we are to preach the gospel. Jesus commanded and commissioned the church to go to the whole world and preach the gospel. He told us to preach the gospel, and that when we preach the gospel, that people would be forgiven of their sins, that they would be made anew. through the power of God and through the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants people to turn and live. He prefers that sinners turn from their wicked ways, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. And so He has sent us into the world to preach the gospel. And so we do. We go forth. We say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. His Spirit accompanies that, and He is faithful to honor that. He is faithful to bring people to the place of repentance and faith. He's not only able and capable, but He is faithful in doing so. Amen? He was faithful to us, wasn't He? In saving us from our sins. And so God is faithful to deliver us from sin. He is faithful to deliver us from death. He is faithful to deliver us from hell. He is faithful to bring regeneration and righteousness into the hearts and lives of people. So God is faithful to forgive sinners of their sins. Not only those that have never been born again, but He's also faithful to continue to forgive us. We look in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our faults one to another, that He is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord is faithful to forgive you. And I believe the Word of God. Those people that have backslidden, those people that have fallen away from the Lord, those people who have sinned and transgressed God's law, even after they're saved, the Lord is faithful to forgive them. If they'll confess their sins, if they'll call upon His name, if they'll repent, they'll be cleansed from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We see clearly that the Lord is faithful to forgive. He's faithful to give lost sinners. He's faithful to forgive His people. This passage in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 makes it crystal clear. It is one of the promises of God, a promise of His fidelity and of His faithfulness, that if we will confess our sins, if we'll repent of our sins, when we sin before Him, He will forgive us. He'll forgive us. You know, the world changes a lot. I mean, mountains may crumble. Meteors may fall from the sky. The ocean may overtake the land with a tsunami. Whatever the case may be, here in the world, things change. We have a lot of catastrophes. We have a lot of challenges. But there's one thing that stands assured, and that's God's holy word. Though heaven and earth pass away, the word of God will never pass away. It's true. God's word is true. And Jesus said, though heaven and earth pass away, not one jot, not one tittle. That's just a dot in the Hebrew. That's just a crossing of the T in the Hebrew. Just one little stroke of the pen. Not one little stroke of God's word will fail. Amen? His word will be faithful to us. Now, what should this do to us in a general sense? This forgiveness of lost sinners, the forgiveness of our sins when we transgress and when we fail Him, when we backslide. Listen, if you backslide away from God, there's cleansing and healing for you. Amen? May the church always, always set forth a message of the faithfulness of God to forgive. He is a God that forgives. Amen? Though people transgress and fall away, their sins can also be covered. He has told us that in His holy word. We've experienced that in our own life. I don't need to have a show of hands to find out how many of you sinned after you got saved and experienced forgiveness, because every one of us had to raise our hand, wouldn't we? What should happen? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, this should foster a faithfulness in us. I think this just the general effects of the fidelity and the faithfulness of God should foster a faithfulness in us. The Hebrew writer said in verse 23 of the 10th chapter, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. So what should the faithfulness of God do? It should foster a faithfulness in us. Because the Bible clearly teaches us that all the promises of God are amen and amen in Christ Jesus. They sure are. They're yea and yea in Christ Jesus. When a Christian is tempted to waver, or to drop off, or to maybe not attend church like they once did, to lay their armor aside, to cease from doing good works like they once did, when they become discouraged or demoralized in some way, the Scriptures teach us that God is faithful and we should not waver in our faithfulness toward Him. We should never halt in what God has called us to do. We should be always ready to work and labor for Him. We should never faint. We should never turn loose. We should never apostatize and turn back. Why? Because the exhortation in this passage is that God is faithful. Do not waver. Do not let go. Do not give up, because God is faithful. So the faithfulness of God should foster a faithfulness to God in us. That's what the Hebrew writer clearly says. He says, hold fast your profession of faith, because God is faithful. God is faithful. So we basically should be faithful to Him because He is faithful to us. And that just makes sense, doesn't it? Sure does. There's no reason in the world to walk away from God. To turn loose, or to let up, or to let go. We're just not justified in doing so because God's faithful. God is faithful. Let's notice something else concerning the general faithfulness of God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. He says this, if we believe not, this kind of goes back to what I taught on Wednesday night before I went to Indiana for a week, from the third chapter of Romans. You know, God's faithfulness is not determined by us. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to be faithful no matter what. Even if you do let up, even if you don't believe, God must be faithful because He is faithful unto Himself. Notice as I read these passages, if we believe not, yet He abides faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Now, you'll deny yourself from time to time, but God can't deny Himself. Yeah, it's just like what I read there in the third chapter of Romans the other Wednesday night, you know, concerning the Jews not believing. And he says, what if some did not believe? What if they didn't? What if? So what if the Jews did not believe in the Messiah? The Bible says, shall their unbelief make God unfaithful? Make God's faithfulness without effect? Will it affect the faithfulness of God? Will something that you do, or something that I do, or something that the church does, or something that the Jews do, will it affect the faithfulness of God? Absolutely not. You know why? Because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God don't change like us. He says, I am the Lord God, and I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. His immutability is very prevalent in His faithfulness. Actually, His faithfulness is based upon His immutability. God does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He knows the beginning from the end. He can't lie. He simply cannot lie. And that's what it says there in the third chapter of Romans, verse 4. God forbid, though the Jews did not believe in their Messiah, all the promises that God had made, He still kept His promises, and every promise that He made, He did and will perform. God cannot lie. God forbid, He says in verse 4, let God be true and everybody else a liar. You know, if it wasn't for God being faithful and Him not being able to deny Himself if it wasn't for his immutability and his unchangeability, we would have been consumed. Come on now. Every one of us probably would have been consumed, but God does not change. He abides faithful because he can't deny himself. He simply cannot deny himself. You know, he's going to finish the work he started in us. That's the kind of faithfulness God has toward us. The Bible tells us the work that he has begun in you, he will perform into the day of Christ. Amen? The Bible teaches us that he's going to consummate that work. He's going to finish it. Consummate means simply to finish the work that he started. He knows the end as well as the beginning. And what he commenced in us, he will finish in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He always consummates what he commences. He always does. God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, a wonderful passage of scripture. Look at this one. This is wonderful. This is beautiful. It says, God shall also confirm you into the end. He will confirm you into the end. Glory be to God. How will he confirm us unto the end? That we may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, the Bible says. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Why? Because God is faithful. What he started in you, he will finish in you, because God is faithful. He's faithful to finish what he begins in us. Well, notice what else he says. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes, God. God called us. And he's faithful to that call. For whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. The Lord Jesus Christ, he started a work in us, and he's going to finish that work that he started, because he's faithful to complete everything he begins. How many things have you started and not finished? Don't raise your hand. I mean, just think in your mind a number of stuff you plan to do and you start to do and you don't finish doing. God, you know, for God to ever start something and not finish it would be an indication of unfaithfulness. And that's not in his character. That's not in his attributes. That's not who he is. He's a God that finishes everything he starts. I'm glad it's that way. Yeah. Yeah. What he commenced in regenerating us, he's going to complete. In purifying us, he's going to complete it to where that we stand before him bodily glorified. Amen? There's not only a regeneration, there's also a purification that takes place in our hearts and in our lives and in our spirits. The process of sanctification is going on in the heart and the life of the believer, and one day it will lead to glorification. One of these days, we don't know how we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall seem as he is, and we're going to be just like him. Amen? We're going to be in glorified bodies, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Look there in the previous epistle to the Thessalonians. Hurriedly there. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 23. Notice what he says. A lot of times verse 23 is quoted and used a lot, talking about dichotomy and trichotomy, twofold, threefold. You're missing the point, my friend. You're missing what Paul's talking about here. You need to read the next verse in this passage. Notice what he says in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, how your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. He will do it. He's faithful to what he started. He's going to finish this work in our hearts and our lives. Faithful is he who called you to finish it, and he will do just what he has promised. Again, we see the guarantee of the promise of God based upon His faithfulness. What He promised, He's faithful to do. Amen? Now, that's just a general synopsis of the faithfulness of God. That's my generalization of God being faithful, His fidelity. That's just who He is. Faithful to the sinner, faithful to the saint, faithful to perform the work and the promises that He has made in us and the things that He said toward us. All right, let's go back to our text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's look again at not only this generalization of faithfulness, but let's look at this confirmation that takes place. Now, there's several other things that I could get to tonight, I suppose. We not only have the establishing you in verse 3, which is the confirmation. We also have the preservation of keeping you. We also have in verse 4 a continuation. He says, for we have confidence in the touching you that ye both do and will do things which we commanded. Paul was saying he had this desire, and he believed in this continuation of the work of God. We have in verse 5 the direction. He says, and the Lord direct your heart. So we have confirmation, preservation, continuation, and direction that takes place in these few verses. But just let me speak a few moments tonight about this confirmation, this being established. Now, we don't believe in the doctrine of confirmation like false churches and false teachers do. But we do believe in a doctrine of confirmation. Once you get saved, you need to be established. You need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. You need to increase your faith. Like we heard in Sunday school this morning, you enter into the Christian life and you become a babe in Christ, right? Then you have to grow. You take more milk, and then after you take milk, you must grow to the place where you can take some meat of the Word. You need to be established as a solid Christian. A solid Christian in the work of the Lord. So we increase our in faith. We develop a Christian character. We were built up, the Bible says, in the most holy faith. We grow in faith. We grow in assurance. We grow in hope. We grow in grace. We grow in knowledge of the Lord. The Bible describes it as being rooted and grounded in the things of God, being established and being strengthened. Now listen, that kind of confirmation, that kind of doctrine of confirmation needs to be not only practiced in our church, it needs to be experienced by those who get saved. But be mindful of this. That whole work, that process is founded upon the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to continue to work in His church among His people. He continues to work in the believer's life to establish them. Now, we can preach to them. We can recommend them go to Sunday school. We can have good youth programs and good teachers and good singing. But unless the Lord Jesus Christ works in their heart and life to bring that place of development and growth, it'll never happen. It's dependent upon the faithful working of God in a person's life. Because the Holy Spirit will lead us to truth, won't it? It certainly will. And I'm convinced, and this is what's great about the faithfulness of God, that God will be faithful to His people in every generation till the Lord comes back. He'll take these little children and He'll develop in them a heart of love and mercy, and He'll develop in them a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ that a parent cannot put there, a pastor cannot put there, a Sunday school cannot put there, but the God of heaven will put there. So we see that this establishing and this confirmation comes from the faithfulness of God. He'll confirm the kerygma or the teaching of Christ in the heart of a believer. He'll make them a disciple. And though they may be only a remnant, they're His remnant. They're the remnant of the Lord. They're His own peculiar people. Listen, you can't make somebody one of the Lord's peculiar people. It depends upon God being faithful to do it. There's a work that takes place in the heart and life of a believer that comes from God. Y'all know about that? I hope you're not giving the preacher credit or your Sunday school teacher credit or your parents credit or your friends credit for your development in your Christian walk. I hope you're giving God credit. And glorifying Him that He's brought you this far. Amen. No man brought you to this place, but the God of heaven did. If we ever walk the way He wants us to walk and work the way He wants us to work, it's going to require Him doing a work in us. We keep the faith. We defend the faith. We become established in the faith. That's that doctrine of confirmation, of being established. When people are confirmed in the things of God, they'll fight for the things of God. They'll war a good warfare. They'll become soldiers of the cross. They'll be good soldiers for Jesus Christ. Now, let me point something out. A person can be confirmed or established in a philosophy of the world. Sure they can. They can be confirmed in wrong ways, just like somebody can be confirmed in right ways. Somebody can be confirmed or established in the ways of the devil. We've got a lot of people that live that way. The previous verse talks about these unreasonable and these wicked people that are in the world. These folks are established and confirmed in wrong and evil and the work of the devil rather than the work of God. Sometimes we question, well, what's happened, you know? Why aren't people faithful to the Lord? Why aren't they being established in the Lord? Why aren't we seeing the kind of Christians coming out of the church that we once did? Come on now. I want you to know something. Don't ever accuse God of being the problem. God's faithful. It's not God He's not the problem. Something else is the problem. God is faithful to confirm people in His work. He sure is. And sometimes when we question somebody's faith, it's not the faithfulness of God that's in question. I've often said if somebody's faith fizzles, it was fraud from the first. Because when He begins a work in you, He will finish it. I'm not saying that people don't get off track and backslide and fall away and that kind of thing, but they can't stay there long. Amen. The Lord will come after them. And so He will establish us because He is faithful. He will confirm us. There's a confirmation that takes place. Notice also He says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, there's a lot of evil in the world that we need to be kept from. Do you realize that Jesus prayed to the Father that His people or His children or His church would not be taken out of the world, but that they would be kept from evil? That's what He prayed. That's what Jesus prayed. He said, Father, don't take them out of the world, but while they're in the world, keep them from evil. We're instructed in the Lord's Prayer, aren't we? To pray, God, keep us from the evil one. Keep us from evil. Jesus also said, Father, deliver them from evil. Now, let me point something out. The devil cannot possess a Christian. He cannot control a Christian. A Christian cannot be demon possessed. Okay? It doesn't happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 points out that there is no temptation that you've experienced that's not common to everybody else. But in that temptation, the Bible says, God is faithful. He's faithful to do what? To not suffer you to be tempted beyond that you are able. That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So God is faithful to us in preserving us, in keeping us safe, keeping us secure, keeping us from being overthrown by our own temptations. God is faithful in those things, and He will not allow that temptation to overtake us that is beyond our ability to stand up against it. Can you imagine where you'd be today if that wasn't the case? Your life would be wrecked if it wasn't for the faithfulness of God. I mean, some sin would come along and it would destroy your family. It would destroy your life. If it wasn't for the faithfulness of God keeping you from being overran by temptation, by sin, by the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life, those things that are in the world would consume you. But God is faithful to keep you from being overthrown by those temptations. I'm glad He's a keeper of my soul, my life. You know, as I think about evil, There's nothing any more evil than death. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We know the wages of death. The Bible says that Jesus came, gave Himself on the cross to destroy the work of the devil who had power over death. And yet when we go through that valley of the shadow of death, we don't have anything to fear. You know why? You know why? Because God is faithful. He's faithful to preserve us, to save us. Where death has no power over us. Amen? I mean, really? Does it have power over us? No. No. It may take away the breath from this body, but it cannot hurt our souls. Amen? All right, let me close out with just a few examples of this. Let's turn to the book of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll close. Oh, this is good. I love this passage of Scripture in verse 9. This is chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Notice this verse. He says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to do this. Now, you get yourself in some kind of bizarre circumstance or situation, the Lord knows how to get you out of it. He's capable of preserving you. And He gives us some examples of this in these passages of Scripture. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment and to be punished. And then He gives us some examples or illustrations of this. First of all, He gives us the illustration of Lot being delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah. The things he saw and heard vexed his righteous soul, but he was still one of God's children. Amen? And He delivered Lot out of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and delivered Lot and his family. Well, some of his family. And then He also refers to another case in these passages of Scripture. Not only does He refer in verses 7 on to Lot, but He also refers to Noah. Noah also was delivered. Look in the previous verses, verses 5 and verse 6, verse 4. He talks about preserving not only Lot, but also Noah. It says in verse 5, He says, "And spare not the old world, but save Noah." Save Noah. Noah was delivered. The wicked were overwhelmed by the flood. When that vapor canopy busted and water fell in on them, and the water came up from the deep, where was Lot and his family? Or Noah and his family? They were safe on the ark. I'm glad I'm on the ark of safety. When the judgment of God comes down upon the wicked, I am safe. He knows how to deliver His people. And so this downpour of flood waters that came from above and beneath, Noah was preserved. The Bible says only 8 souls were saved. Only 8 were delivered. God knows how to deliver His people. He knew how to deliver little David, right? From the bear and the lion and even from Goliath. He knew how to deliver Peter. Peter wasn't worried about being in prison, was he? Actually, when the angel came, he was fast asleep. And the angel had to nudge him, wake him up. Get up! Wake up! He wasn't worried about it, was he? He knew God was in control. But He delivered him from those soldiers. He delivered him from that prison. He knew how to deliver Paul and Silas when they were in jail, didn't He? They were in that jail at Philippi, and in that Philippian jailhouse, they were singing and praising the Lord, and they were praying, and God came on the scene and delivered them. He still knows how to deliver His people. And He will deliver you no matter what it is that you go through. He will deliver you. I think we need to tell people God's faithful. He's faithful to establish. He's faithful to deliver from evil. And when bad things happen to us, when it seems like that, and I felt this way. I wrote this down on my desk a few weeks ago. that I felt like I was holding a water hose up against a tsunami. You ever felt like that? I don't know, just the thought came to mind, I wrote it down. But you know what? If I have a water pistol and God is with me, I can storm the gates of hell. Amen? I mean, little David did, didn't he? He said, you know, and that giant made fun of him having that little bitty sling and those little bitty stones. But he went out there and he said, I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. And listen, that's enough. That's all we need is the Lord of hosts with us. Yeah. We have people that are dealing with a lot of stuff. They're dealing with cancer. We need to tell people that have cancer that God is faithful. God is faithful to deliver from that evil. I believe He'll heal His people from all their diseases. Amen. Haven't y'all read the back of the book? Absolutely. He will heal His people of all their diseases. We need to help tell people that are downtrodden, that are going through hardship and going through pain. There are people at church that feel like they're overran by different things, different situations and troubles. Tell them, God is faithful. He will not fail you. We sing that song from time to time. The first song we sung tonight talked about God not failing. He does not fail us. God is faithful. When it feels like that the church is overran by false doctrine and we feel like that we're not making any headway, let's never, ever, ever let it enter our mind, the thought that God is unfaithful. Don't let it happen. God's faithful. Faithful to His church. He's faithful to His word. And no matter what it looks like on the surface, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. He's faithful to establish us. He's faithful to keep us from evil. He's faithful to continue that work that He started in us, that we will perform those things that He's calling us to do. And He's faithful to direct our hearts. I appreciate your attention. May He confirm you and keep you because He is faithful.